The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A year ago today, I was ordained a priest, and I know several of you are here who traveled all the way up to New Jersey, and I thank you for that, for sharing that day with me. But you know what I've learned in a year's time of being a priest? That the priesthood can be a pretty depressing career. You thought I was going to say something nice, didn't you? Just put yourself in our shoes. As a priest, you are always on call. You get called. You can get called on at any time, day or night. And in most of these cases, you meet people when they are near death, when they are vulnerable, when they are afraid. I still remember the first time I ever encountered death. It was here at Regional when I was there in the infant ICU and at the passing of a little baby. Priests share in the countless difficulties of other people who come to us for our advice, for an ear that will listen, for a prayer, for a blessing. And then there are confessions. You try sitting in that box for almost 2 hours every Saturday and being bombarded with the negative aspects of a person's life. And then there are wakes, there are funerals, although not as numerous here as they were up in New Jersey where I was serving. And then imagine giving yourself totally to your job and getting very little compensation in return. And what little pocket money I do get, I usually spend on tacos on Friday night with some of our Spanish youth. So would you agree that the priesthood can be a pretty depressing career? But for me, as a priest of only a year, and I am sure this is true for many, if not all, priests, I can tell you that I am not depressed. I would argue that I am the happiest man alive right now, although at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's doubtable. I would argue that I am the happiest man alive on earth right now because my priesthood is not a career. It is my life where I encounter God and where God encounters me. Here on the altar, in the Eucharist, in you and in all the people that I serve. I can honestly tell you that if someone were to enter this door right now and offer me a job that paid $1,000 an hour, I would not abandon my priesthood for that job, because I'd probably just spend the money on tacos anyway. Before I was ordained a priest last year, time was dragging. After my ordination, however, time could not go by any faster. It is true, time flies when you're having fun. In my case, time flies when you love what you are doing. What's my point in sharing with you my own personal experiences? My point is, brothers and sisters, do not treat Christianity as a career. That just because you don't get paid to be a Christian, you can excuse yourself in being a lousy Christian. Your faith is not a career. Christianity, faith, is about a relationship of love with the living God who loved us into being. One of the tasks that my superiors have always assigned me to since entering parish ministry is youth ministry, and I love it. In fact, yesterday, as many of you know, we had a retreat here at our parish, hence the altar cloth we have on our altar, with over 85 kids participating. And I love working with the youth. I love encountering young people. But I get very sad and upset when I find young people who fail to encounter God and rather distract themselves in things of the world, in false happiness, such as sin, drugs, alcohol, sex. And it's very sad, it's very saddening. To the world, I, along with all other priests, I am a nut and I am a failure. At 29, I don't have my own car, I don't have my own house, I don't have a life. My salary is a few dollars a month, and therefore, to the world, I am crazy. But for me, that's okay, because the world thought John the Baptist was crazy too, as we heard in the gospel today. I mean, look at what this guy wore, camel's hair and a leather belt, and he fed himself with locusts and honey. Pretty crazy, huh? Heck, the world even thought Jesus was crazy, and look what they did to him. I'm not equating myself to John the Baptist or Jesus. I'm very far from being or like them, but I find great consolation in knowing that I am in good company. We are in good company, brothers and sisters, as Christians. It is a tradition that for a priest's first Mass, he asks one of his friends to preach the homily, a person who knows him pretty well. I had asked a friend of mine, Father Carmine, to preach at my first Mass. Carmine and I have known each other even before we entered the seminary, so I thought it very nice to ask him. And he gave a beautiful sermon at my first Mass, which I will share with you today. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he gave me three pointers to help me as I began my priesthood. He focused on the person of St. John the Baptist, and he gave me three points from the life of John the Baptist. The first is prayer. St. Father Carmine said, St. John the Baptist was a man of prayer. He beautifully summed up the life of prayer by these simple words, "He must increase, I must decrease." Prayer helps you get out of the way so that God can work through you and not be stopped by you. Prayer is about encountering the living God and allowing the living God to form you into his own image and likeness. Prayer is about intimacy with God. The priest has to have an intimate relationship with God. And this holds true not just for us priests, but for every Christian. We must have an intimate relationship with the living God. He must increase while we decrease. The second point that Father Carmine gave me was that the priesthood must be evangelical, and I extend that to all Christians. The Christian life must be evangelical. St. John the Baptist, through his preaching, attracted many followers, but he never directed the attention to himself. John the Baptist always pointed to Jesus Christ. When some were speculating that he was the Christ, he turned to them and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," as he pointed to Jesus. St. John went out to convert the world, but he didn't convert people to himself, but to Jesus. And St. John knew that the hope of humanity was not about bigger government or better social programs or economic progress, but the only hope of humanity was Jesus Christ. It is only in Jesus that the human person understands who he is and what he is made for. It is only in Christ that our life and our world find its meaning. We, as Christians, must follow the example of St. John the Baptist and be an evangelist, because the world waits in darkness for the light of Christ. The third and the last point that Carmine had given me was that all vocations, especially the priesthood, like the life of John the Baptist, demand the gift of total self. When St. John was imprisoned and brought before Herodias, he wasn't afraid to speak the truth. He wasn't afraid to point out sin. Today there is a lot of talk about mercy, and this is good, but we must always remember that the other side of the coin of mercy is truth. And truth is not an equation or a logical syllogism, but a person, Jesus Christ. And when we conform ourselves to the truth of Jesus Christ, we are living in truth. It is only when priests and laity as well give the gift of their very life completely and without reservation to following the Lord that we paradoxically don't lose our lives, but we find our lives. It is in losing our life that we find it. Brothers and sisters, to the world, John the Baptist was crazy. To the world, many priests and many nuns are crazy, because if we judge their lives according to the standards of the world, they're wasting it away in service. But St. John the Baptist and all priests, religious sisters and brothers, stand as a sign of contradiction to the times. We must stand in contradiction to the individualism, the rationalism, and the hedonism of our modern culture. And we must stand as a sign of hope. We Christians, we celebrate Advent every year. And what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for Jesus to be born again in Bethlehem? Not really, because that happened already 2,000 years ago. We're waiting for the coming of our God. In Advent, we must train ourselves to wait in joyful hope for the final coming of our God, whether it be at our own death or at the end of the world, whichever comes first. As Jesus came as a baby in Bethlehem, without the eyes of faith, we will not be able to recognize Jesus when he comes to us if we do not open our eyes of faith. Mary and Joseph would not have recognized him. The Magi, the shepherds, would not have recognized him if they looked for him only with the eyes of their mind. We must look for Jesus with the eyes of our faith, and then we will recognize him. And this means not looking at things according to the standards of the world, but according to the standards of faith. And so, brothers and sisters, as I celebrate my first anniversary of priesthood, it's not a big milestone, but it's still a milestone, and I ask you to pray for me. Pray for all of your priests, that the Lord may give us the grace to remain faithful and to persevere to what he has in doing what he has called us to do. Amen.